The Love Review is the series, but today's title is Love Stinks. Love stinks. Now, I want to just get a pulse. When you hear love stinks, you probably are thinking something really negative, right? Some of y'all probably thinking about some stuff that probably happened to you years ago that under the right circumstances, whether it be the right number of people, the right liquid influences, you might talk about why love might stink. Y'all don't want to laugh no more. Cool. I said liquid influences. Y'all acting like y'all don't have liquid influences. Okay, cool. No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to tell you a secret. You just told it. So, I ain't trying to talk about why love is just some kind of negative thing. You know, I'm not up here to give the anti-Valentine's Day sermon. I'm getting that out the way. Because I am not about that life. That's one of the three reasons I'm running away from home. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. But I need to set the table because we read the scripture, and to a certain extent, we've been in this scripture probably for about 7 months to a certain extent. That's my plug for Bible study and the book. Get the book, come to Bible study. We've been kind of fooling around with this scripture a little bit, and I need to set the table. All right. So we know who God is. According to the scripture, it says the Lord is my shepherd, right? Yes. We also equate God to being the embodiment of love, correct?
Yes, correct.
So by that equivalent property, if God is love and God is shepherd, that means love is shepherd. Okay? Mm-hmm. Y'all got it?
Yeah, amen.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I need to know. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So when I think about God being my shepherd, God being love, I think about all the times that the Lord journeyed with me. When there were moments I didn't even want to be kept. And I think about those moments that, you know, nobody else was around, God was there. And I'll just talk for me. Tears that I cried. Anger that I spit out at a wall. All this stuff. And somehow, God never left, but God was always present. And God was always present, even if I couldn't trace him. So that makes, so whenever I read the 23rd Psalm, I get that same feeling.
Yes.
That's like, I don't understand how a God that sits high, looks low, enters my world, and is that personal. So maybe today, I can try to share a little bit further out of this text in a different way. Let's see if it's going to help. Love stinks because love walks with me. See, the shepherd is a shepherd because they take care of sheep. And don't just take care of sheep, but they actually have to interact with the sheep. Which means that at some point, if you're a good shepherd, you're going to smell like the sheep.
Yes, sir.
Which means that if you're really with the sheep, you're going to smell like everything the sheep goes through. Okay? So that means that at some point, you're going to smell like the outside. You're going to smell like being by a river. You're going to smell like all that wool you had to shear off of the sheep. You are interacting with the sheep. A good shepherd does not smell like cologne. A good shepherd smells like the sheep. It lets you know that the shepherd walks with the sheep.
Hallelujah.
Feeds the sheep.
Hallelujah.
Protects the sheep.
Hallelujah.
So when I read this, who better to write the 23rd Psalm than David? David was a shepherd.
Yes, he was.
David understood what it meant to be with the sheep. He understood what it took to protect the sheep. He understood what it meant to be engaged with the sheep's needs.
Yes.
So when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's suggesting that the shepherd knows what he needs before he needs it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yes.
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Yes.
Your rod and your staff comfort me.
Yes.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a word. This should be the easiest sermon I ever preach in life, because according to how we interact with the text preaches itself. But you know what? I've learned that there are some things we miss. Because when we're going through trouble, when we're facing challenges, when we're facing moments where we don't feel like David who wrote this, it is hard to look back and remember that God is really there the entire time. Folk get on your nerves at work. People get on your nerves in public. Family members have driven you nuts. Everybody is getting on your last, and you don't know how much further you can go. You don't know what to do. You are just struggling just to make it. And somehow God is still there, but I don't always feel that. So let me explain something to you. When you don't feel it, know that he's there.
Yes, he is.
And he's there at critical moments that you may have never thought about.
Yes.
Love is there when you least expect it.
Yes.
And even when you think God ain't there and he will show up, he's already shown up for you.
Yes, sir.
So let me tell you where love shows up. Because like I said, sometimes I can't trace God, but at some point I know he's there. So if I know he's there, I don't have to worry about tracing him. I just have the confidence that he's there. So look at these places where God shows up, where love shows up. Number one, it shows up in exposed places. In exposed places, exposed spaces. Read the text again. He leads me. He makes me to lie down where? Green pastures. Leads me beside still waters. None of those things are necessarily in covered places. So in other words, God provides for me in places where I am more than likely to be exposed. Okay, let me say it a different way. God will lead you to places where your provision is. Make sure that he'll supply all your needs. Make sure that you won't fall under. Make sure that everything's going to be all right. And at the same time, while he's doing it, you're in a place where you can't hide. Now, I need to help somebody. You and I need to get to a place where we stop acting like we need to hide and deny that God blesses us. You need to quit walking around as if God does not care about you. You have to get to a point where you understand that it is there's nothing wrong with you being grateful that God has led you to places of provision in your life. And notice what I just said, places of provision. We haven't even gotten to the overflow. We're talking about your daily needs being met. Stop acting like he hasn't opened up a door for you once or twice. I'm not going to stand up here and act as if God has put me in this spot and this is where I've been my entire life. There were days when I was broke. There were days when I had nothing, and God showed up and made sure that what? We never had to beg for bread, that we never had to worry about missing a meal, that we had to worry about missing anything. God showed up, and because he showed up, I praised him because I knew I couldn't do anything, but if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be in the spot. Now, the flip side. Y'all ready for the flip side? Yeah. The flip side is being exposed also means that your weaknesses show too. Yeah. It means that you have to deal with the idea, have you gotten to a place where you think you got yourself in? Oh, it's a slippery slope. There is a thin line between confidence in God and believing you did it yourself. Okay, here's how you know you've kind of gotten to the edge and you're about to fall over. Because you forget to praise God for the simple things. You start saying it's too small and that God should be doing more for me than this. You should be doing it because I showed up to church and I did this and I did that and all this other kind of stuff. And God said, well, I've been doing this for you for so long and I've been showing up for you. And all of a sudden you can't praise me for this. You can't shout unto me for this. I kept you even when you didn't know how to be kept. I kept you when you didn't want to be kept. And I kept you in spite of what people tried to do to you. Why wouldn't you not shout about this? And here it is. We want to get ugly about what he has not done yet and not shout about the fact that he's already done so much. So while I'm in the green pastures, I'm going to shout for the grass. While I'm by the still water that's not overtaking me, I'm going to shout for the river. Because I couldn't have done it by myself. Two, love is present in moments of vulnerability. In moments of vulnerability. I share with you, for many, 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 many years, I hated crying. And here's why I hated to cry. Because people in my life made me hate to cry. Because they said stuff like this. You're being too emotional. Little boys don't cry. What you crying for? And I'm talking about at moments when things were really going on. I hated to cry, and I hated to be sad, and I hated to be anything in front of anybody, because at the moments when I tried, they said, well, you need to do this for us. Don't quit now. You got to do this for us. That's why I could shout about valley situations because of this verse that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, there are moments when you're vulnerable, when you can't go any further, when you don't know how you're going to make the next step, when you're really trying your best and you don't think your best is good enough. And death is lingering in the woods. waiting to pounce on you. But can I tell you why I shout today and why I cry a lot more than I ever have in my life, good and bad tears? Because of what it says in the text. The text says that even though I walk through the valley, watch this, of the shadows of death. Which means that my God only allows me to see that death is lingering because light is shining. Because the only way you can see a shadow is if light is shining. And if light is shining on the thing that is trying to take me out, that means the same light is shining on the shepherd that's going to protect me from the thing that is trying to overtake my life. So in my lowest moments, I got somebody that's going to keep me in perfect peace. Even though I walk through those things and know that they exist, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. I ain't at the end, but can you give me a quick 2-minute break? The Bible says, lift up your hands. Oh, ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The Bible says, who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. I got somebody who is going to fight every one of my battles, who's going to keep me and protect me from all hurt and harm, so I got a reason. The shout about it. I don't care if evil or negativity can trace me. I got a God who has and will protect me. 3. Love is present in the presence of my enemies. He's present in the presence of my enemies. So he prepares a table. Here's where overflow comes. Provision is the green pastures. Provision is the still water. But overflow is when you've gone through all kind of stuff and the Lord still prepares a table. And lets your enemies watch. I thought I could keep them off, but I need to see some people's eyes, and I need to be prophetic in this moment. I need to look into some folk and let you know there is a reason you have reached this point. And at this point, it is not for you. It is for God to demonstrate his power through you and how he will provide for you when others said it couldn't be done. That means when you thought it was over and you saw that folk left you behind and it looks like nobody will pay attention to what's in you, he is bringing you to your table. He's bringing you to your table. Hallelujah. So that you can sit as the guest of honor at your table. And when they thought they could take everything from you, and when they thought they could take your integrity from you, and when they thought they could take your gifting from you, and when they thought they could take your promotion from you, and what they thought they could interfere with your journey, God is setting up the table so he can let the enemy know that every child of mine will always eat David said, in all the years I lived, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You're not a beggar. You're a king's kid. And he has set the table. And it's time for you to step up to the table. Stop denying who you are. Sit at the table and eat until you can't get no more. And let the enemy watch and look back at him and say, you tried it. You did everything you could. But I'm still standing. It's your table. It ain't nobody else's. It may not look like you thought it looked. But let me tell you what God does. God, when God sets the table, you can't even begin to imagine how that thing look. Come on in here, Mephibosheth. Can you tell me what a king's table looks like? Mephibosheth, what happened to you? Well, brother pastor, I used to live in a city called Lodabar. I was a prince of Israel. My daddy was the next in line, but David ended up assuming the throne. Somebody dropped me when I was a child. My ankle bones were broken and they cast me away and I couldn't get to my rightful place. But one day David looked around and said, is there anybody in Saul's house that I can bless? And the king came down to Lodabar, found me on a trash heap and said, for your father's sake, my daddy was Jonathan, his best friend. He said, you gonna come on in the house. You're gonna eat at my table. You're gonna dress in my clothes because you are a part of the family. And when I sat at that table, I couldn't imagine. Oh my God, all the things on the table. And I had access to everything because the king said it was mine. Let me tell you something now. The king of glory said, it's yours. So before I go, I need you to get one more thing. Love shows up during your anointing season. You anoint my head with oil. So, Marissa, before I went to bed, baby, I didn't tell you this because I was studying it before we went to sleep. But I thought you might want to hear this. And I thought some of y'all might want to hear it too. Because see, my wife is in the unprivileged position of hearing me work my sermons before Sunday morning. But this was just one piece that I had to hold to myself for everybody. So, sheep that are tended to by the shepherd, their needs are met. But this oil business, people don't always know how significant it is. So, the shepherd needed to always put oil on the sheep because bugs, insects are attracted to sheep. And why? Because eventually they get dirty and they get funky. Right? Y'all know what funk does. Put trash out in the heat. Bugs are drawn to it, right? So what they're drawn to is not the scent. They're drawn to what appears to be death. I'm going to let that marinate. They're not drawn to the stench, as in they just draw on the funk. They're drawn to that which appears to be like death. So, if it's dead, or if it's stinking, or it gives that impression, that means they can be in that spot unbothered. They can plant their eggs in the membrane, and whatever grows can infiltrate that sheep, which shows why sometimes some sheep could kill themselves because the infestation is making its way to the brain, which disrupts the sheep's normal function. Here is why you need the Lord to anoint your head with oil. Because there are things in life that are attracted to anything that appears to be dying inside of you. And they will make its way into your life. Not to disrupt you as they are, but to plant things that will grow, that will disrupt and destroy your ability to function. That is why you can't go around here just talking about you anointed. When every now and then, and here come on Wednesday night, you need what? A reapplication. In every stage of my life, I may say that I'm anointed, but the oil gets dry. There are things that will wear you out, and they know that you're wore out. So these things and people that try to draw unto you and get into your life and plant stuff in your brain and tell you that you ain't this and tell you you're not that and tell you that you can't make it and tell you that you won't be anything. But can I tell you what happens when the shepherd applies the oil? The oil becomes an automatic repellent that they know they can't get up in your space. Don't worry if folk ain't talking to you like they used to. That means that God has what? Anointed you. God has put something on you that's automatic hater repellent. It's automatic foolishness repellent. It's automatic get out of my way repellent. You ain't even got to say nothing. Folk move to the side because they know that you're anointed. And you're anointed with an anointing that says, I don't have time for this. So when I'm anointed like that, and when the Lord rubs my head like that, that's why I can shout off of verse 6. You can't shout off of verse 6 until you understand the first 5. He takes care of my needs. He protects me from all harm. He keeps me in the midst of my enemies. He gives me a new anointing. So that's why I know that after all that's done, I can shout off of this. Surely, y'all missed your cue. The verse says, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In other words, God lets me know that I'm covered on every leading in. On my head, I'm covered. In my needs, I'm covered. In my blessing, I'm covered. In my journey, I'm covered. And no matter what may try to come behind me, I'm still covered by his mercy. And I'm covered by his goodness. I'm covered by his grace. I'm covered by his love. Is there anybody here that's got a reason to shout on the fact that they know that they're covered? It doesn't matter what you're going through, you're covered. Doesn't matter what you face, you're covered. Doesn't matter what comes up your way, you're covered.